Hallelujah. Come on, let's receive that love today. Hallelujah. Let's receive that grace today. Thank you, Jesus. Where would we be without the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's thank Him once again, Lord. We thank You today, Jesus. Thank You for all that You're doing, Lord, in our lives, Lord. Thank You for Your amazing grace, Lord Jesus. Lord, that You would... Who is man, Lord, that Thou art mindful, Lord? You look down upon us, Lord Jesus, and You see the state of where we're at, God, and You love us anyways. Hallelujah. Come on, we serve an awesome God. Amen. Praise God. We serve such a wonderful King. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be at Center Point. Amen. Glad to be here. We are here in and out, and so Pastor asked if I would minister this morning, and I believe that the Lord's going to do something awesome in this place. Praise God. Not that I'm anything special, but that God is, I was going to say, large and in charge. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so I do, like I said, on Wednesday night, we do thank the church for sharing us, if that's the right way of saying that. I'm humbled by what God has done in our lives and where He has taken us. Praise God. And I'm so thankful that we have a church that it cares for us and prays for us while we're gone and can see the vision of the whole scope of what God is doing. Amen. I don't know if we'll ever see the whole scope, but at least you know that God is doing great things while we travel and evangelize, and we're seeing lives being changed, and it's just special. Amen. I'm not anything, but in the hands of God, we're all something. Amen. Praise God. And so one pastor, when I talked to him, it was a few months back. It was probably 5 months, 6 months ago. He said, "It's really awesome to think how God is enabling you and your ministry to be able to impact lives all across North America." And I jokingly but not jokingly said, "What's even more amazing is that a church in the western side of Nebraska would ask us to come." And so while we were away, while I was away, I got to preach in Scotts Bluff. There's nothing around for a long time, but there's an apostolic church. Amen. And God is working, and God is doing great things. And so we do certainly thank You for allowing us to do that. So next Wednesday, we will be hitting the road again. We have service on Thursday in the middle of Ohio. And then we have to be in Aberdeen, South Dakota by Sunday morning. And so continue to pray and ask God's favor upon what He's doing through the Pattersons. Amen? Amen. Praise God. As we turn our attention, I do have a lengthy portion of Scripture here this morning. And so, I want you to turn to your neighbor, okay, and ask them, "What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose?" Amen. And if I could, I'm going to preach that today. What do you have to lose? And we learn that during this portion of Scripture in your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5, we learn that the relations between Damascus or the Syrians and Israel had improved somewhat after the reign of... There was a guy that was a nasty king. His name was King Ahab, and his wicked wife Jezebel. Relations improved enough that King Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, could send a chief captain, somebody, the who's who of that day, a guy by the name of Naaman, and the king to the king of Israel, and he was seeking for help. Prior to this, they were at war with each other, and so this guy named Naaman, he goes and tries to get help from Ben-Hadad. And so because Naaman had some issues, Naaman had some problems. Have you ever had an issue and you didn't know where to turn? Have you ever had problems in your life and you're just trying to figure it out on your own and you just couldn't do it? I'm so thankful today that we know who to turn to. Amen? I love how the Spirit of God works and operates. Kyle was preaching someone on it this morning. Michael gets up and says a few things. And I'm so thankful that God knows what He's doing. Amen? And I'm so thankful today that we know who we can turn to. And as we turn to our attention to 2 Kings chapter 5, it says this. And Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master, and honorable, because the Lord had given deliverance unto the Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And Syrians had gone up by companies and had brought away captives of the land of the Israel, and a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that Samaria, for he would recover his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took him with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, and the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. He was mad. And he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Therefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Verse 8, and it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. Aren't you so thankful that the men of God hear? They're listening, amen? And he says this, and he sent unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Praise God. And so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." See, Elijah had the answer. Amen. And Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel, that I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. Just a couple more here. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "Father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose, Naaman? And as we you're seated today, I want to preach that message this morning. Hallelujah. Naaman, you know, as we read, or as we have read in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was somebody special. Naaman was on the cover of Time magazine or the New York Times, and he was somebody that had some clout. Amen. Naaman was the who's who of that day. And Naaman had position. He was somebody that people looked to. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Syria was the land to the north of Israel, and it was not a good place. It was a heathen, pagan nation surrounded in darkness. And it was a place of idolatry, and there was just such spiritual wickedness and spiritual blindness that plagued the land. And wow, that sounds like a whole lot like the land that we live in, amen? People are clueless as to how dark it is, because the darker the night, it keeps getting darker as it gets darker at night. Amen? And people have no idea how or why the things that are going on in the world are going on. It's because we live in a pagan world. But I'm so thankful today that we are not of this world. Amen? That God has changed our lives, and God has put us and set us upon the rock, as Caleb, as Kyle preached this morning. Amen. Praise God. So Naaman was a great man in the eyes of the king of Damascus or Syria, and Ben-Hadad. And Naaman was also a very popular man. Apparently, the favor of God was upon Naaman, and God had given him deliverance to the Syrian. Scripture says that Naaman, he was a mighty man of valor. He was somebody that knew the art of war. And Naaman was a man that won many battles in the Arminians, as an Arminian soldier. And some scholars even suggest that Naaman was the certain man of 1 Kings chapter 22, that took his bow and put the arrow in there and shot that bow, the arrow, and it went into the joints of King Ahab and killed him. Scholars say that this was the man. That's who he was. He was somebody special. And the Lord, and you get that from reading verse 1 where it says, and when he's talking about Naaman, that hence, that's why, because of him, Naaman, that the Lord gave deliverance to Syria. Naaman had position. He was popular. But that wasn't good enough. Amen? Naaman still had a problem. At the very end of the verse 1, I don't know if you still have that up there or not, but at the very end you see a three-letter word that always seems to get in the way. It always seems to creep up, and that three-letter word is but. But why does this three-letter word always end up popping up when we don't want it to? Amen. And there's some pretty big buts in the Bible. Amen. And this story would not be the same if that but wasn't there. Amen. I'm talking about B-U-T, not the other. Hallelujah. But, look at that. But, he was a leper. I knew I'd get laughs. We're not going to play on that too much more. Hallelujah. It's okay to have fun in church. Amen. Naaman was a leper. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, problem. Problem. He had issues, and that's a pretty big issue. Amen. It changed everything. It didn't matter how popular he was. It didn't matter that he was the who's who. It didn't matter that he was captain of the host. It didn't matter who he was. He was a leper, and it changed everything. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but you can be a good person. Amen. You can even be a great person in the eyes of everybody around you. You could be financially stable and have tons of money in the bank. And you could have some clout among your peers. And you could be the Secretary of Defense. Basically, that's who he was. And you could have all the pedigrees. And you could have all the best jobs in the world. And you could even be spiritual, but have a butt. Amen? Ugh, that always gets in the way of things. And you could be spiritual and not have his spirit. God, help us not to be spiritual and be so far from you, Lord, that we're missing what you're wanting to do in our lives. And deep down inside, you could have lots of issues. And even as an apostolic, even as a oneness believer, and yes, I did say that, apostolics have problems too. Guess what? I've had issues. And if we would all be honest, every one of us would be raising our hands saying, yes, there's been problems in my life. There's issues, there's things that I don't know and I can't seem to grab a hold of. And I'm not saying that we're all just out necessarily sinning, but we have issues. And when you might just be dealing with SLS, and that is spiritual leprosy syndrome, you might just be dealing with something inside. And this syndrome is real. In Scripture, leprosy is a portrait of sin and man's true spiritual condition. The heart is wicked. Amen. And if we don't rein in on our hearts, it can cause us to do things that are not contrary to the Word of God. And we need the saving grace and the spiritual healing and the working of the Holy Ghost to bring us into a right relationship with God. And regardless of how men see us or we see ourselves, in God's eyes, we are lepers. If we are not in right relationship with Him, can I hear an amen? And having SLS will make you feel like your world is falling apart. And sometimes it'll make you feel like pieces of your spirit are just being ripped off. And you're just hanging by a thread. And Naaman was a victim of such plagues, the plagues of the world. Sin of this world will leave you empty. And it will leave you hopeless. But Naaman sought out the physicians. He sought out the people that he thought he could turn to in Syria. However, he was not able to find the relief of the pain and the anguish that he was feeling. And there was simply no relief. But as Kyle so eloquently preached this morning, that there's only the only relief that we have in this world is Jesus Christ. The only relief that we can find for the sins of the world is to turn our attention to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll put this down here. Quick recap, what took place between chapter or verse 1 and verse 9. Naaman finds a slave girl and was concerned about the leprosy of her master, and she convinced the king of Syria to send a letter to the king of Israel requesting for healing of Naaman. And Ben-Hadad sought out help from the man of God, Elijah, for Naaman, but I guess he just didn't have a very good means of communication, because the king of Israel took it all the wrong way. The king of Israel gets angry, rips his clothes, and says, "Who does Ben-Hadad think I am? Am I a god to kill and to make alive?" He thought possibly it was a scam from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. He thought maybe it was a scam, that he was trying to stir something up to cause war once again. And he says, I'm not God. I can't kill and make alive. He didn't realize that he was not seeking for him, the king, to make provision, but he was asking for him to send or make a connection with Elijah. But Elijah hears the word that was going on, and he heard that the king rent his clothes and got angry, and he says, "Why don't you just let him come? Let him come to me, and he shall know." What an awesome boost of confidence in Elijah. He says, if you have Naaman come and watch what God can do. He didn't just say, "Well, maybe, possibly." He says, "You get him in the house. You get him near me. And you watch what God can do. And he will know about the God of Israel." Amen. Oh, if we could just get people into the house of the Lord. If we could get people to get into the presence of God. And we have such confidence knowing that if we could just get them here, we would see God do wonders. We would see God do great things. The world is so sick of sin. If we could just get them into the presence of God to see what God can do. Hallelujah. Elijah didn't come across with words of negativity, but he said, I know the God who's able to do it. Hallelujah. So Naaman and the Syrian general, he was the general with high ideas of his own importance, shows up with his horses and his chariots, goes to Elijah's door. He's banging on the door saying, hello, I'm here. You should know who I am. I'm somebody of somebody. I'm really important. And you need to come out here right now. And you know what? That's not what Elijah does. He just didn't fall whim to, well, this is the general. I need to make sure everything's tidy and make sure I got to go out and do something. Because really, it's not Elijah who does the work. Amen? Come on. You don't have to feel like if you invite somebody to the house of God, you're gonna pray for them. And you do something. Come on. It's God who does it. Amen. If we could just get them into the presence of God, God's gonna do the work. Amen. And so Elijah, he didn't give the answer that Naaman was looking for. Naaman stands at the door, and as we read in verse 10, he says, Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, messenger, I want you to do this. Behold, I thought he will surely, I skipped over, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. And really what was taking place was Naaman pulls up to the door. He's kind of prideful because of his position and because of his popularity and because of all these things. And he didn't get the answer that he was looking for. Maybe God has different plans than what you're looking for. Amen? Maybe God's going to do things in a way that you don't see fit. Amen? But God knows what's best. Amen? God knows how to bring us to that place where he changes. God was not just looking to heal Naaman of his physical leprosy, but God was looking to heal Naaman of the SLS, the spiritual leprosy that he may have been dealing with. Amen. And so Naaman, he gets verse 11, and went his way and said, behold, I thought... See, it's not about what we think. God's plans are so much higher than what we can ever imagine. But Naaman says, I thought we would just come to the house of Elijah and stand there, and he would come out and he would call on the name of the Lord his God, and I thought it would be a quick work. And he would strike his hand over the place, and I would be healed of this leprosy. And it was not the answer that Naaman was looking for. You see, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's not about who you are, but it's about who he is and being in right relationship with him. And if you're not careful, our pride can get the best of us. Amen. Naaman's foolish pride almost cost him to miss out on the cure for his dilemma. You know, Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 7. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few be there that find it. John 10:1. Truly I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. God, I hope that we are not considered thieves and robbers, Lord, in your eyes, Lord. But we want to come to you, Lord, in the way that you've asked us to. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, this is verse 10, and to kill and to destroy. Before the thief can destroy, he's got to be able to get into our lives and steal some things from us. and cause us to have SLS, spiritual leprosy, if you would. And Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. How many want life today? And that they might have it more abundantly. We need to have life more abundantly. Amen? Hallelujah. And we have to live according to the pattern that God has set before us in His Word. You know, and Naaman's response now was, he says, you know, I could go to the rivers. You know, in my home in Damascus, I can go to those rivers, Abana and Pharpar, and I can be clean there. The waters there are so much clearer. I mean, if I need to have this my way, it's so much nicer. It's so much better. It's like going to the rivers here in Pennsylvania and then going down to South Carolina. No, I'm not talking about up in the mountains. I'm talking Georgia. My goodness. Mucky and dirty. And like, you know, it is still even today. They say that the waters in Jordan are not to be used. They are turning people away from being baptized in the Jordan because of the things that flow in the Jordan. That is not good for people to consume. And people are still getting baptized anyways. And they're even, if you go on the internet, you could even buy water from the Jordan. Even though it's got all this stuff in it because of the healing power that people believe in. But it's not the water that brings the power, amen? Praise God. You know, there was another man. He was the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And here we find that the connection between it all is keeping His word. Amen? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt do no murder, and don't steal. And he begins to give some of the commandments. Don't steal, and bear false witness, and honor thy father and thy mother, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I always done. I kept these things from my youth up. What still do I lack? What is there, Jesus, in my life that is still not complete? And Jesus said unto the young man, That will be perfect. Go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard these things, he went away sorrowful, for he had a lot of stuff. He had great possessions. Jesus then turns to his disciples and says to them, Truly I say unto you, the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he didn't say that it's impossible, amen? Because I believe Naaman, with his position and with his where he was at as the general, he wasn't a poor man. It's all in your attitude and how you turn your heart to the things of God. Amen. He said unto you, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Amen. The eye of the needle is a place. It's not necessarily just a needle. And I you know, if the camel has one humps or two humps, it's still a big animal. Amen. He's not talking about a physical needle. The eye of the needle was a gateway into the city. And what he was saying to the rich young ruler, he says, You're going to have to get rid of some stuff. You're going to have to unload your camel. In order for that camel to fit through there, it can't be loaded down. And what the analogy is that we can't be loaded down with the things of the world and think that we're going to make it into heaven. Amen. Naaman has hope because all things are possible with God. And the difference between the rich young ruler and Naaman is that Naaman had an intercessor. Naaman was ready to forget it. He was ready. He was so angry because the answer was not what he was looking for. 2 Kings 5:13, and Naaman And his, Naaman's servants, came near and said unto him, My father, another translation would say master or sir, says, Sir, if the prophet would have bid thee to do something great, you would have done whatever it needed to be done because it was something great. He says, if thou wouldest, you would have done it. How much rather then, he said unto thee, just simply go and wash in the Jordan. It wasn't a hard request, but it was the actual act of doing something that he did not seem feasible, like it was a feasible thing. Naaman's servant said, What do you have to lose? Amen. What do you have to lose? Turn again to your neighbor and say, What do you got to lose? Hallelujah. What do you have to lose? God is always wanting us to become closer to him. Amen. No matter the circumstance, no matter how brown the water looks, no matter how murky things get in our lives, God is wanting us to draw closer to him and simply obey what he's asking us to do. Amen. What do you have to lose? It's time to go get a dip. Amen. It's time to take a dip in his love once again. Come on, it's time to take a dip in God's mercy once again. It's time to take a dip in repentance. It's time for us to fall on our faces. It's time for us to take a dip in prayer and get connected to him. Don't let the things of the world so pull us down that we miss out on what he's trying to do at Center Point. It's time to take a dip in the water in baptism. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, what's the wait? Amen. Praise God, it's time to go take a dip. What do you have to lose? Hallelujah, it's time to take a dip in his anointing, and somebody's going to take a dip somehow, somewhere, at this altar here today. Amen. How many believe that with me today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What profited a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? The question isn't really what have I got to lose, but what must I lose? How many would be willing to raise their hand this morning and say, you want to get closer to God? What must I get rid of in my life? What extra baggage do I have that's causing a hindrance between me and you, Lord? We have such an anointing as apostolics that God wants us to tap into. Could he be saying, you know, you don't need the social media and all the garbage that comes with that. You don't need the Netflix and the video streaming and all the garbage that comes with that. And you can lay down cigarettes and you can lay down drugs and you can get rid of things. What do you have to lose? Amen. What must I lose to get closer to him? The answer lies in and will always depend on our obedience to him. Thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands. Let's ask him that we could be obedient to him today. Jesus, Lord, God, we're seeking you today. God, what is it in my life, Lord, that you're calling me to a deeper level of obedience, Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you have to lose? Obey the Spirit of God in your life. We all have struggles. We all have concerns. We all are facing giants in our lives. But what do you have to lose? With God on our side, anything is possible. Amen. We continue as a church to step out on faith and believe God for miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm so thankful for that today. Because what do we have to lose? Amen. Praise God. Let's believe in God for great things and continue to watch God bust open the doors and windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You've heard me say it before, and you'll hear me say it again. You know, with God we can do all things, or there simply cannot be a nothing with God. With God all things are possible. Amen. But also with God nothing shall be impossible. You can't have an impossible with God. God is always working. God is always moving. God is always doing things on our behalf. Hallelujah. How many believe that here today, that although we come to God and we pray for our family members and we may not see it come right away, but we know assured that God is doing something in their hearts. We can pray for our neighbors and we can pray for situations, but the key to it all is finding a place of prayer. He's always doing something. And Naaman finally comes to his senses. And he got over his selfish pride. And he became desperate enough to be made clean. Is the situation in your life, have you come to the place where you become so desperate that you'll do whatever it takes to become clean? You'll do whatever it takes for God to do what he wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. I hope that's the case here today. Verse 14, he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the mucky, dirty water of the Jordan. But he got over himself. And he did this according to the saying of the man of God. Hallelujah, Elijah. And guess what? His flesh became whole. Amen. His flesh became like a little child. And he was clean. Amen. Aren't you so thankful today that through water baptism, God can cleanse our conscience. God can cleanse all of the sin and the dirt. And after we receive that baptism and we mess up, we can come to God at an altar and we can say, God, forgive me. And God just makes that the slate clean all over again. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto Jesus. Hallelujah. You too can be made clean here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you got to lose? Is there anybody here that wants to take a dip? Anybody here that wants to just fall in love with him all over again? The real question, again, is not what do you have to lose, but the real question is, what do you have to gain? Amen. What do you have to gain? We get so consumed on the worldly system and depending on what we can do, but God's system is totally different from the world. And when we fall in love with him and we depend on the things of him, we have all of his kingdom to gain. Amen. Praise God. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And I don't know about you today, but this preacher wants to do the will of God. This man of God wants to be right with him. And I hope that you would do the same today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, this event forever impacted Naaman's life. That he declares in verse 15, Now I know that there's no other God in all the earth but the God that is known and worshiped in Israel. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to just tickle your fancy. He doesn't just want to give you goosebumps so you can walk out saying, wow, I felt something. But God desires a complete transformed life. Amen. In his presence. Something changed in Naaman. He prayed that God would pardon his past idolatry. He said, all of the things that I once worshiped, Lord, forgive me. And he treated people different. Naaman's heart was filled with gratitude. He wasn't the same man that he used to be. And what an awesome picture in this story of this account of Naaman is the story of salvation to you and I. God has so much in store for us. Change our situations. Not everything is going to be great, but you know what? It's so much better now than it was before. Amen. And Naaman, he was that man that was consumed by the world. He was that man that was so filled with sin and leprosy. The disease of leprosy affected his whole body, just as the disease of sin affects our souls. None but God could heal the cure for leprosy, and none but God can remove sin from our lives. Amen. The answer to Naaman's problem seems so simple. Naaman, just go take a dip. Just go take a dip. Hallelujah. The medicine that the gospel administers for the cure for the disease of our soul is so simple. We need to take a dip. Hallelujah. God's love is here today as we stand across this place. Hallelujah. You may be here today and dealing with SLS, spiritual leprosy. You may be here today and things have been great, but all of us have issues. You may be here today and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Why wait? Why hesitate? Look at the good that it's going to do. You get your sins washed away. If that's you today, come repent and ask God for forgiveness. And we can baptize you in Jesus' name for the removal and the washing away of sin in your life. Hallelujah. This altar's open today. God's love is here today. And He's reaching out to you and I. And He reaches out to us. Even though we live in a world of utter darkness, He uses the afflictions of the world to draw us closer to Him. Oh, if we would only respond to Him. Come on, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Come on, get baptized today. Get your sins washed away. Go take a dip. Come on, is there anybody here that wants to take a dip in His mercy? What do you have to lose?